time you'll learn just as I did. You must find happiness right where you are.
I like to dance with the water, the undertow and the waves. The water is mischievous, ha! I like how it misbehaves. The village may think I'm crazy or say that I drift too far, but once you know what you...
What's going on, everybody? This is Shukri Wright, host of the Shukri Wright Show at 91.5 FM WMFO in Medford. Coming up next, we got a lot to get into in the show. It's going to be only for an hour and a half today until 10:30. And of course, I got to start the show talking about the Bruins because, again, last night, somehow, they managed to pull a Houdini act. So I want to get into that, plus much more on your phone calls coming up just shortly. Don't go anywhere. Show will be starting in about 2 minutes.
Seconds to play. McAvoy off the boards. Marchand closes, sets his edges, and it's off the apron. Marchand to Bergeron. McAvoy scores! They pull one out of the rabbit's hat. Linus Olmark stood on his head. 50. and the game ends with 4.3 on the overtime clock. Anytime. Anyway. Anyhow. This team is incredible.
And a pleasant good morning to you wherever you may be. This is indeed the Shukri Wright Show at 91.5 FM WMFO in Medford, Tusfee Farm Radio. Streaming nationwide on the TuneIn Radio app and globally on WMFO.org. Wherever you may be, however you may be listening, on this first Wednesday of March, March 1st, 2023, March Madness got off to a banging start last night as the Boston Bruins, in what I could best categorize it as, the miracle of Alberta. I'm calling it the miracle of Alberta, in which the Boston Bruins came back from 3-2 down to win in overtime 4-3. I mean, my gosh. I mean, my goodness. What a game last night. And that's how we're going to start the game today, because today, after all, as I mentioned, it's March 1st, and as I was hinting at last week, March, in my opinion, is the best month for sports, arguably. You got the conclusion of the NHL regular season. You got NBA regular season beginning to wind down. It's the final full month for both leagues, final full month, that is. The playoff chases begin. Yeah, spring training. And, oh, by the way, opening day is later this month. So, you want to talk about March getting off on the right foot? You had it last night, especially if you were fortunate to stay up late last night to watch the game. The number to call in is 855-915-WMFO. 855-915-9636 is the number to call into the show. As I'm here with you until 10:30 today. I'll explain why. I know some of you are wondering, like, why 10:30 instead of 11 o'clock? There is a reason why. I'll explain that reason a little later on in the show. So stick around for that. Nothing big, nothing crazy, but it is something of importance. So, the Bruins. They went 4-3 last night over the Calgary Flames. And these are just some of my overall takeaways from the game, in which on the way here, I was thinking the Bruins really continue to find ways to not only win where they don't play their best games, but they get contributions from places that you'd least expect. And that is something that I absolutely want to start off by talking about. Getting contributions where you least expect. Because there is something to be said in regards to what the Bruins are doing and what they have proven time and time again on this road trip. But I want to specifically focus on last night, because I thought last night was fascinating for a myriad of reasons. And I just think that now that we've had, by and large part, and I know there are some of you that are still waking up this morning, rubbing the crust out of their eyes, maybe they're cutting off the crust off the bread of the PB&J their moms gave them or their dads gave them or whatever, and they're trying to make sense as to what happened last night. Was it a thrilling win? Yes, absolutely. But as to how they got to that point, I mean, yo, I can flat out say, and I'm going to say this outright, they played like complete ass at certain points during the game last night. They didn't look very good. I mean, let's be frank. Linus Ullmark bailed him out of that game last night. The fact that Linus Ullmark made 54 saves in the game last night, which I thought his performance was jaw-dropping in every single way possible, said an awful lot. But the Bruins did not play a great game overall, a complete 60-minute domination, which they really did not do much of this entire four-game road trip, which went through Seattle, Vancouver, Edmonton, and then last night in Calgary. I mean, if we're going to be completely honest with ourselves, I think the fact that we're able to even talk about the Bruins' win this morning, it's a miracle in its own right. I mean, it is. But I will tell you this, though. Dmitry Orlov, who was one of the two big pieces the Bruins acquired last week, the other one being Garnet Hathaway. What a game last night. What a freaking game he had last night. Because if we're going to talk about last night's game, we're going to have to talk about the fact that Dmitry Orlov scored two goals. And he has 5 points as a Boston Bruins so far. Like, we knew once the trade was made, based on what I saw in Washington, Orlov has always have had quite the shot. But let me tell you something. Last night, what I didn't expect was that beautiful, it looked like a set play. That second goal that Dmitry Orlov scored, where Bergeron won the faceoff, it was almost like too perfectly teed up. It was as if the puck just made its way over to Orlov, who was in the high slot, and just fired an absolute bomb of a one-time slap shot. And like, it was almost as if Bergeron said, "Hey, bud, here's the puck on a tee. Have your way at it." That's exactly what that was. That's exactly how it all lined up to be. So Orlov scoring two goals last night, I'll take it any day of the week. But going into the game last night, if you told me that Orlov was going to score two goals, and he came damn near close to becoming the first defenseman since Sedano Chara to have a hat trick in a Bruins regular season game that was back in January of 2011, I would have told you you're crazy. I mean, I think that in itself is pretty miraculous if you ask me. Also, what I would also say is this. I can't also help but to point out the fact that I hate to be the person that nitpicks, but the Bruins, they did not play a good game last night overall. Overall. I'm not saying they didn't deserve the win. That's not what I'm saying. But the reason why I feel this way is because I feel like there are times in which that they allow Calgary to not only get back into the game, but they allow Calgary to really create sustained pressure, which they did, and they capitalized, in which that they scored those two goals and they took a 3-2 lead. And yet, somehow, some way, what the Bruins have done all season long, when it looked like the Bruins had no business pulling out a win, a come-from-behind win at that, they just do it. It's almost as if, I don't know if you've ever been to a zoo and you've seen this live in person. I have. But follow along the analogy that I'm about to make right now. The Boston Bruins are like the anaconda snake. It'll slowly wrap itself around your neck. Slowly. It's never fast. It'll wrap itself slowly around your neck to the point where you begin to lose oxygen flow. And then at the right time, it'll squeeze itself to the point where whoever the prey is, you either see the head pop from the lack of oxygen or from the sheer pressure that it creates in killing its victim. That was the Boston Bruins last night. After leading 2-1, Calgary, as I mentioned, they scored the two goals. It was 3-2 going into the third. And the thing that I keep thinking about is there are times that I truly felt frustrated. I felt frustrated about the way the game was going and the way that things were developing in the game. And yet, the Bruins found a way to find their game in the third period, especially when they needed it the most. I mean, how big was Pavel Zacha in last night's game, folks? Call in. Talk to me about it. 855-915-WMFO. 855-915-9636 is the number to call in. I mean, my goodness. How many big goals have Zacha scored this season for the Bruins? And it just seems as if whenever the Bruins have needed to get a big goal from someone somewhere in the lineup, here comes Pavel Zacha. This is exactly what he does well. He said, hey, okay, you know what? You need a goal? I got you. No problem. And this is exactly what it sounded like last night on Ness, and Jack Edwards had the call of this one.
Makes a save. DeBrusk. Orlov closes, and Zacha scores! Dmitry Orlov with a three-point night, and Zacha ties the game.
And Jake DeBrusk, himself up that weak side post, and Orlov delivers a perfect pass. There's the contact with DeBrusk. They use the delay through the neutral zone. Get it in the hands of DeBrusk. He's got some legs. He's a young guy. He can handle the 4 and 6 as far as the skating game.
That was Jack Edwards and Andy Brickley on Nesson last night on the call of that one. But that was a clear example of DeBrusk taking a hit to make a play. Literally. He took the hard check, and then Orlov was able to find Pavel Zacha down low, and Zacha was able to bury that third goal for the Bruins that tied it up at 3 with 5:53 remaining in the third period. But my goodness, my goodness, you talk about the check line in which going into the season, I don't know how many of you had high hopes or high expectations for what that second line was going to be able to do offensively. But I'm talking about specifically Pavel Zacha. But my God, he has fit like a glove perfectly into this system that Jim Montgomery has instituted for the Boston Bruins. I want to hear your thoughts. You have an opportunity to call in at 855-915-WMFO. 855-915-9636 is the number to call into the show. As we are going to take a music break now. Coming up next, there was an interesting column that came out this morning in the Boston Globe that I actually want to talk about. And given that it's March 1st, it is absolutely necessary that we start having this conversation now. I'm going to tell you exactly what that is coming up next on the other side of this break. This is Shukri Wright. You are listening to 91.5 FM WMFO in Medford, Tusfee Farm Radio.
It was a normal day.
He was in some minor accident, a fender bender.
And I had this
impulse to call him, but I didn't because I thought I could call him later that week.
He abandoned the car, he came home, and he shot himself without ever talking to anyone.
When I came home that night and I found her, they told me that she had shot herself, and I couldn't believe it.
I asked if he was okay.
Taking a gun into your house for protection is a terrible myth.
Once you pull that trigger, that's it. There is no coming back.
65 Americans a day die by gun suicide. Store your gun securely, locked, unloaded, and away from ammunition. Help stop suicide. Learn more at endfamilyfire.org. Brought to you by Brady and the Ad Council.
Adopt US Kids presents What to Expect When You're Expecting a Teenager, Learning the Lingo.
Today I'm going to help parents translate teen slang. Now, when a teen says something is on fleek, it's exactly like saying, that's rad. It simply means that something is awesome or cool. Another one is totes. It's exactly like saying totally, just shorter. As in, I totes love going to the mall with Becca. Another word you might hear is jelly. Jelly is a shorter, better way to say jealous. As in, Chloe, I am like so jelly of your unicorn phone case.
You don't have to speak teen to be a perfect parent. Thousands of teens in foster care will think you're, rad, just the same. To learn more, visit AdoptUSKids.org. A public service announcement brought to you by the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services, AdoptUSKids, and the Ad Council.
You got me sipping on something I can't compare to nothing I've ever known. I'm hoping that after this fever I'll survive. I know I'm acting a bit crazy, strung out a little bit hazy. Hand over heart, I'm praying that I'm gonna make it out alive. And screaming, lighting me up like Venus. But then you disappear and make me wait. And every second's like torture. Heroin drip, no more. So finding a way to let go. Baby, baby, no, I can't escape.
What it wants. The heart wants. When you're high, you feel different. You think different, you talk different, you draw different, you listen to music different, but you probably knew that. Problem is, you also drive different, and not in a good way. That's why driving high is illegal everywhere. So if you're high, just don't drive. Make a plan to get a sober ride. Because if you feel different, you drive different. Brought to you by NHTSA and the Ad Council.
How do you dispose of cigarettes?
Well, there's part of plants.
Really? Fertilizer and dried plant roots can catch fire.
Trash cans okay?
Please, all that trash can easily catch fire.
So off my porch is a bad idea.
Cigarettes tossed into mulch, leaves, and grass start many fires. Fire can grow up the side of a building before anyone notices.
Fine, bucket of sand?
That's perfect. Put it out, all the way, every time. To learn more, go to mass.gov/DFS.
Think fast. In the short time it takes to listen to this message, a small flame can turn into a big fire. Several minutes more, and thick, poisonous smoke may have filled your lungs and reduced your ability to respond. Give it 5, and your entire home may be filled with flames.
Keep breathing. We've got you.
Don't let your world go up in smoke. Have working smoke alarms and keep heaters 3 feet away from anything that can burn. Learn more at usfa.fema.gov, because fire is everyone's fight.
Welcome back to the Shukri Wright Show on 91.5 FM WMFO and Medford Tusk Free Farm Radio. Streaming nationwide on the TuneIn Radio app and globally on WMFO.org. As I'm here with you for another hour until 10:30 this morning. Again, as I mentioned, I will discuss very briefly a little later on in the show as to why the show will be cut short by a half hour today. There is a reason why. I mean, normally I don't cut the short to show off like that short, like that quickly. But there is a reason why. I will talk about it just momentarily. Number to call in is 855-915-WMFO. 855-915-9636 is the number to call in to the program. As we started talking about the Bruins to start the show this morning, and now we are going to continue the discussion, but not in a way that one would expect or may think to have that discussion, because as I alluded to in the tease at the end of the last segment, I mentioned that now would be the time to have this kind of discussion. And I think that it is so important that we start having this discussion now. Not wait till next month, but start having this discussion now. And now, one would ask, okay, what is the discussion? The discussion is how the 1970-1971 Boston Bruins should, in fact, play a big cautionary tale role for this 2022-2023 Boston Bruins team. And they should. Now, before any of you wild animals out there start jumping off your horse and ready to come attacking me with your swords and your imaginary tough man-child attitudes and so forth, there's a reason why I bring this up. You see, as I mentioned in the tease, it's now March 1st. We are now officially about a month and a half away from the Stanley Cup playoffs. The trade deadline is in 48 hours, a little more than 48 hours officially. And this is absolutely warranted a conversation that needs to happen now. Now, the Boston Bruins, as we know, and everybody knows that follows hockey, know that the Boston Bruins are having a historic season thus far. No questions asked. This morning, as it currently stands, the Boston Bruins have 99 points. They're at 47-8-5. And they have a winning percentage of .825, which is, it's still truly baffling considering when you think back to training camp last September, which seems almost an eternity ago, but it wasn't that long ago. But here we are, what, 6 months later? The Bruins are not only threatening to set the new NHL record for most points of the season, but also the single season record for most wins in a season. But with all of that being said, there is truly a reason why we need to have this conversation now about the 1970-1971 Boston Bruins. Now, obviously I wasn't born yet. For those that don't know, I'm 31 years old. I wasn't born in 1970-1971. My parents were alive. They're still alive, both of them today, thank God. But I wasn't even born yet. That 1971 Bruins team, from all of the older Bruin fans that I've spoken to about this, have all said that was the best Bruins team that they've seen in their lifetime. Obviously, the team have won the Stanley Cup in 1972, and then again in 2011, and so forth. But that 1971 Bruins team was the best Bruins team in their lifetime. And this was in the midst of that era in which, in the early 70s, you obviously know about the big bad Bruins, Bobby Orr, Phil Esposito, Derek Sanderson, Jerry Cheevers. The list goes on and on. We all know about those guys. But there was a column that was written by Dan Shaughnessy, and I know the fact that I said his name is probably going to elicit some eye rolls, like, oh my God, that absolute troll. No. Actually, once I read you the excerpt that I want to specifically pick at, you'll see why I actually agree with him. So this is what the column starts off as. The 2022-2023 Boston Bruins are the best team in hockey, enjoying what might end up being the greatest regular season in the 105-year history of the National Hockey League. They are the favorites to win the Stanley Cup. But more than in any other sport, the best team does not always win in hockey. Ask the 1970-1971 Bruins or any old-timers who followed that powerhouse all those years ago. The Bobby Orr Bruins won the Stanley Cup in 1970 and 1972. But the best team of that golden era was the 1971 team. The 71 Bruins won more games, scored more goals, and piled up more points than the Cup teams that bookended them. He's referring to the 1970 and 72 Stanley Cup champion Bruins. And they never made it out of the first round of the playoffs. The mighty Bruins were beaten in 7 games by the hated Montreal Canadiens. In kid goalie Ken Dryden. And I know those that are hockey fans who are well-versed in the sport that know that name and gives Bruin fans nightmares. Ken Dryden, who had only 6 games of NHL experience before the playoffs in 1971. The 71 Bruins averaged 5.12 goals per game, had 10 players with at least 20 or more goals, and an era when a 100-point season was like hitting 50 homers. The Bruins had 4 players who reached that mark. Phil Esposito, or Johnny Busick, Ken Hodge. And I'm going to end it right there. Why are we having this discussion now? Because as dominant as the Boston Bruins have been this season, my greatest fear for this Bruins team is that they go up in smoke before they even get to the Stanley Cup Finals. My greatest fear and concern is that history is not on their side. The first time I ever brought up this conversation along these lines, and I remember it very well, it was during the 2019-2020 regular season. This is before the pandemic. I brought this up, I believe this was February of 2020 of that year, like 3 years ago now. The Bruins at the time, they were the best team in hockey. They were on, like, first place in the league. And I brought this point up then. And obviously, The Bruins 3 years ago were not even remotely as good as this current edition of the Boston Bruins. They weren't. But I brought up the point that in terms of teams who have won the President's Trophy, there is only a very small percentage to have gone on to win the Stanley Cup. And it's worth mentioning this very point here. 35 President's Trophies have been handed out since 1986 when it first was handed out by the league. You want to know how many of those teams have gone on to win the Stanley Cup? 8 of them. Only 8. I'm not bringing this point up to be negative. I'm bringing this point up because it's now time to actually start having this conversation here on March 1st. There is only one thing that could stop this team. Actually, two things that could stop this team from winning at all come June. There's only two. Health and history. Health is real. The health concern that I have is real. Nick Foligno got injured again last night. And he was taken out of the game. He's not going to be available for the Bruins tomorrow night against Buffalo. Taylor Hall still out with the injury that he sustained on the road trip as well. And then history. History is not very kind to the record setters during the regular season. I'll give you actual examples of that. The 2018-19 Tampa Bay Lightning. It was only 4 short years ago that the hockey world looked at that Tampa Bay team and saying that that team was all around the best team in hockey. They have the best goalie in the world in Andrei Vasilevsky. They were world beaters. They had all the offensive firepower that you could dream of. I mean, I could say to talk about Stamkos, Nikita Kucherov, Braden Point, and the list goes on and on and on. But then something happened in game one of the Stanley Cup playoffs that year in the first round. They were up 3-0 to Columbus, as we all remember. They were up 3-0. Blew a 3-0 lead in game one. They ended up getting swept. The 1995-1996 Red Wings. For those of you that are old enough to remember the 90s. That 96 Red Wings team. Oh, were they loaded. Whew! Oh, were they ever loaded. Vladimir Konstantinov. Larionov. We also remember Steve Yzerman. We also remember Nick Lidstrom. Those Red Wings teams were terrific, but they did not get out of the second round or even actually the conference finals against Colorado. They beat St. Louis, but they lost. They didn't even win the Stanley Cup. So the point that I'm making is this. I have full faith in the leadership in that locker room. Everything has looked impeccable in terms of vibes, in terms of chemistry, in terms of performance on the ice. Everything you want to list, go right ahead. Everything has looked impeccable for this team. But the number one worry that I truly do have now, will history be kind or will it be harsh to the Boston Bruins? Why do I say that? Because, and I've said this on Twitter for those that follow me, I've said this before, in which the last team to win the Stanley Cup after winning the President's Trophy over the course of the full 82-game season, 2007-2008, Detroit Red Wings. I've said this before on Twitter. And I also mentioned in that same breath, the last team to win the Stanley Cup winning the President's Trophy outright, the 2012-13 Chicago Blackhawks. 48-game season, it was a strike-shortened season. But the Blackhawks were the President's Trophy winning team that year. They went on to win the Cup. So it's been 10 years since the President's Trophy winning team won the Cup. And it's been 15 years since the team won the President's Trophy over the course of a full season and went on to win the whole damn trophy, to win the Stanley Cup championship. So the Bruins at this point We obviously know they're chasing history. They're chasing the Stanley Cup. That's their goal, yes. But I am worried that history is not on their side, because it is Stanley Cup or bust this season for this Boston Bruins team. No ifs, ands, or buts about it. So if you have any thoughts on what I just talked about in terms of the 1970-1971 Bruins team not winning the Cup after being the best team in hockey that year, call into the show at 855-915-WMFO. 855-915-9636 is the number to call in. We are going to take another music break in just a moment. But last thing I want to point out real quick. The Bruins, they return home against Buffalo tomorrow. They're back home at the Garden. They play the Sabres. But the game that I'm actually looking forward to, that I will be at on Saturday, is against the Rangers, who just acquired Patrick Kane, by the way, officially. So if you're thinking that the Bruins' ride to the Stanley Cup is going to be smooth and easy, I got news for you. It won't be. If anything, it is going to be a bloodbath to get out of the East. Go ask Tampa Bay. Tampa Bay, by the way, I said this the other night on Twitter. For those that follow me at Shukri Writes, I said this the other night. Tampa Bay is a sleeping giant that you don't want to wake up. They have been there and done that the last three straight years, winning back-to-back Stanley Cups in 2020 and 2021. Don't wake that team up. Carolina, New Jersey, yes, the Devils are legitimate. They are for real. They just acquired Timo Meier on that themselves. The Rangers, Toronto. Yes, I'm including Toronto because I've been a big believer. Every dog has its day. At some point, that core group of Austin Matthews, Mitch Marner, William Nylander, they are going to break through. It's not a matter of if, it's a matter of when. So we're going to take a music break here and continue this conversation, plus much more, and your calls. Coming up next here on the Shukri Writes Show at 91.5 FM WMFO in Medford. There's a troubling stat that I think that needs to be talked about in terms of the Boston Celtics, and why I actually think this could spell trouble for that team that has championship aspirations. I want to tell you exactly what that is. Coming up next on the other side of this break. Don't go anywhere. You're listening to 91.5 FM WMFO in Medford Tufts Freeform Radio.
The federal government alone spends $4.5 billion a year locking up people for drug offenses. It costs almost $28,000 a year just to incarcerate one prisoner. Compare that to the average annual tuition at a four-year public college, which is $5,491, and you realize that the drug war is blurring our nation's priorities. Taxpayers' money would be much better spent educating people instead of punishing them. But thanks to ever-increasing mandatory minimum drug sentences, an entire class of young people are being filtered into new supermax prisons, while the resulting budget crunch forces the rest of us to go to old, dilapidated schools. The more money we dump into prisons, the less we have to invest in college campuses. Visit www.schoolsnotprisons.com to find out how you can get involved in the war against the war on drugs.
Imagine being forced to live outside with only a thin coat to protect you from the bitter cold. Desperate, you call out to your family, but they ignore you. All alone, you shiver and shake as frostbite sets in and you slowly freeze to death. When it's cold, bring your cat or dog inside. Make sure other outside animals have adequate food, water, and shelter, and report neglect immediately. For more information, visit PETA.org or call 757-622-PETA.
Talking to your kids about the dangers of vaping can be hard. Getting them to listen to hot gossip is easy. So here's some drama you could share with your kid.
Dude,
Did you hear about Cassie and Jake?
No, but did you hear that vaping can cause irreversible lung damage and nicotine affects brain development?
Nuh-uh. You don't need to gossip if you want to have an open conversation about vaping. So if you want to get tips on when and how to talk to your kids, visit talkaboutvaping.org. Brought to you by the American Lung Association and the Ad Council.
In your eyes, there's a heavy blue. One to love and one to lose. Sweet divine, the heavy truth. Why do I want? Don't make me choose.
Vicky, how you doing? How's the knee?
It's coming along, doctor, but still some soreness.
Well, let's see. You know, this soon after surgery, some pain is pretty normal.
I was hoping to get more painkillers. The first round worked great.
We're being very careful with those now. Prescription painkillers are opioids, same as heroin. It's easy to start taking them, not so easy to stop.
Last year in America, an average of 40 people died from opioid abuse every day. Long-term addiction has become America's newest health epidemic.
So no pills?
Vicky, you're doing great. So let's try these anti-inflammatories, plus your physical therapy. If the soreness doesn't continue to get better, give me a call.
For opioids, the smaller the dose prescribed and taken, the better. Because even a few prescription painkillers can sometimes go a long, wrong way. A message from the American Academy of Orthopedic Surgeons and the Orthopedic Trauma Association. Visit orthoinfo.org/prescription safety.
I wait to say, at least I did in my way. I wait to face, but in my heart I understand. I made my move, and it was all about you. Now I feel so far removed. You are the one thing in my way. 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 You are the one thing in my way.
Welcome back to the Shukri Wright Show, 91.5 FM, WMFO in Medford, Tuts Free Farm Radio. Streaming nationwide on the TuneIn radio app and globally on WMFO.org. The number to call in is 855-915-WMFO. 855-915-9636 is the number to call into the show. I'm here with you until 10:30 this morning. And the reason why the show is going to be cut short by a half hour today, and today only, is because of an ongoing situation that I have been dealing with away from the station, in which is part of some important business that I have to take care of today. If I did the show until 11 o'clock, it would impede directly into me being able to take care of said business. So I have to cut the show like about 30 minutes short. I typically wrap up around 11 a.m., but today I have to wrap it up around 10:30. That's when I'm going to conclude the show, and that is because of some personal business matters that I have to take care of. That is away from the radio station. That is has nothing to do with the show. It has nothing to do with the radio station itself, but a personal matter that I have to take care of. So instead of the show wrapping up at 11 a.m. as it usually would, the show will wrap up at 10:30 instead. So I just wanted to let you, the listeners, and my loyal listeners and supporters, like what's what. So the show is only about an hour and a half today. But next week's show will, God willing, be a full 2 hours. So I just wanted to let you know that. And before I even continue with the show, because there is a couple of segments that I do have left, I figured that with about five minutes remaining, or a couple of minutes remaining left before 10 o'clock, that I take the time to talk about something else that also came to mind, and as well, like, so I guess you could say someone like brought to my attention as well. There has been some things that have been going on, in outside of radio and broadcasting and whatnot, that required me to really do some thinking, and it just got me thinking in the sense of how do I want to attack the final couple of months. Because I think it's fair to say that the next couple of months are going to be huge. It's going to be important. Because now what I realize is, including sports wise, the Red Sox, the regular season starts on March 30th. The Bruins and Celtics season rolls on. And with the playoffs beginning a month from now, I realize that a lot of my conversation is going to be surrounding the Bruins and the Celtics, as both teams are going to be in pursuit of a championship. So what I realize is that because of that, that I need to step my game up. I need to step my game up in terms of content as well as what I'm doing off the air. Some of you are aware, some of you aren't, but I'm going to remind everybody that I do have a new show with Believe Sports Network. It's called Believe in the Hub of Champions and All Boston Sports Podcast, in which I talk about Boston sports. It's available on iHeartRadio, wherever you get your podcasts. You can watch it on YouTube. Just type in Believe in Hub of Champions. The first episode came out last week. There will be another episode dropping tomorrow. God willing, either tomorrow or Friday, but more than likely tomorrow. So that is a new thing. So I'm going to be beefing up my presence in the Boston sports media scene. And there are some other things that are, in fact, happening right now. But I will talk about later when the time is right. So a lot of things that are happening over the course of the next couple of months, but I just want to focus specifically on this month, because like it's March 1st and now spring officially begins in a few weeks. And then, oh, by the way, time changes in 12 days, I believe. Is it 12 days? 11 days, Sunday, March 12th. The time goes forward an hour. So that's going to be fun. So we'll all have an extra hour of daylight, coupled by the fact that we all lose an hour of sleep. So I figured that I just want to spend these few minutes talking about what's going on and why the show is being cut short by a half hour today. But also equally as importantly, there are some things that are happening right now away from WMFO that I wanted to bring to your attention in case if you haven't heard as of yet. One of them being the new Believe in Hub of Champions podcast that's on iHeartRadio, wherever you get your podcasts, and on YouTube. That's something that's definitely going to be taking off in very short order. So definitely give that a check out. And we are going to take this time now